He wants to rule in the schoolroom and in the church and everywhere. But men who do not respect the Prince of Peace, as he's called, and he is called the Prince of Peace in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, verse 6, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If you want peace, you've got to have the Prince of Peace in your heart, ruling in your heart. That's the only way you can have peace ruling in your heart, is because you have the Prince of Peace. And he is King of Salem, according to Hebrews 7 and verse 2 and 3, which is interpreted King of Peace. King of Salem. King of Peace. If there's anything the Lord wants you to have and me to have, it's peace. And I'll tell you, I know we say love is the greatest, but I tell you what, if I could have all the love in the world and couldn't have no peace, I believe I'd swap it in for some peace. And you would too. Praise God. Peace comes first. If it wasn't the first in importance, then it wouldn't be the first thing God gives you to inform you I'm come in. That's the first thing the Lord does for you, to give you assurance he's in your heart. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the first indicator or sign or proof that Jesus has come in. You have peace like a river. Peace that passeth all understanding. That's just the first indicator. Praise the Lord. But it's a wonderful one. In Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, verse 17 and 18, God says, the work of righteousness shall be peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And that's the only way to have peace, is through righteousness. And the effect of righteousness is what? Quietness and assurance forever. Boy, that's wonderful, isn't it? Great day, what a scripture. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in a sure dwelling, and in quiet resting places. Now, if the Lord gives you anything, that's the way it's going to be. The devil will give you something else. If you want to raise the devil and have trouble and problems and sorrow and heartache and emotional disturbances, nervous breakdown, that comes from the devil. Now, Jesus gives you peace. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. He said, even if it hails, coming down on the forest and the city be brought low, you can still have peace. Oh, praise God. I tell you, that's great. That's great. It is simply wonderful. I want to tell you about a fellow who made a vow to God one time. He couldn't find any peace. It's recorded in Genesis, the 28th chapter. His name's Jacob. You know that man became a prince with God? He became a prince after he paid his vows that he made to the Lord. He couldn't find peace at home. He had to leave home. He had a brother named Esau, and he was a carnal, fleshly old codger. The Bible even says of him, Jacob have I loved, God says, but Esau, I hate him. Boy, that's something God hates you, isn't it? Jacob had sworn to kill him. He got his birthright, which he was profane with. And the scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 16 said, lest there be any fornicator or unclean person as Esau was, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you know how that afterward, when he was rejected, he could find no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. His brother got it, and he hated his brother, and he swore that he was going to kill him after the death and burial of his father. So his mother heard Esau take that oath. And she sent him out away from home, and for 20 years he never saw that bloodthirsty, murderous-minded brother of his. But listen, while he was going away, he was on his track back to the parents of his mother. He was going over to stay with her brother back in Paddan Aram, where she and Jacob and that group had come from. And here's what he did. He was shook up. He was afraid. He knew trouble was on every side, and fear was around because his life was in jeopardy. And here's what he did in Genesis 28 and 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, he met with God one night in prayer, secretly, off in the woods by himself. And here's what he said. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. A lot of folks read that and they think that's all he asked for. That was just a little bit of it. Here's the big thing. He said, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. I don't want to come back over that old brother wanting to kill me. I ain't coming back. Lord, I'm making a vow to you. If you'll give me bread to eat and clothes to wear and bring me back again to my father's house in peace. How long did it take to effect that peace? 20 long years. He says, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And it was Bethel. It was named Bethel later, meaning the house of God. It became a great city in Israel. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And he kept that vow. He kept that vow. 20 years later, on his way back home, he heard them terrible tidings. One of his servants, way up in the security group that was leading this caravan, in the forefront of this great caravan, going back toward home in faith that God would bring him back in peace. A servant came back and says, I'm your scout. I just met Esau with 300 men coming looking for you. Good Lord, have mercy. Lord, I believe you're going to bring me back home in peace. My Lord, have mercy. This is worse than when I left. Man, he got out there and prayed all night. He got him a stone and he prayed. And that night, an angel come down about daylight and started wrestling with him. Had a wrestling match with an angel. But he won. He was determined. He wrestled with that angel till the daylight started breaking. And he asked the angel, said, what's your name? He said, ain't nothing to you. He said, I'm not going to let you go. The angel said, let me go. He said, I'm not unless you bless me. He said, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. He says, it's not going to be that anymore, because as a prince, you prevailed and you have power with God. And he blessed him. And he let him go. Boy, the next day, he made all them arrangements. He got a great big part of his flock and severed it out of the flock and put it to the foremost, put all his children in the rear. He knew he had to meet that brother that hated him. But he'd made a vow and he kept it. He said, now, Lord, I'm going back home, and I believe you to do what your part of this vow is. So he went to meet his brother. By that time, God had worked that brother over. So when he saw him, he fell on his neck and wept. And they made up. There was reconciliation there. It was beautiful. Peace. Peace. The Prince of Peace was there. Praise the Lord. He says, what is these flocks, my brother? He said, that's a gift for you. He said, I don't need them. I got more than I need already. He said, howsoever, take them. And he forced him to take them. Boy, he wanted to know that gift was accepted. Fella didn't accept your gift back in those days. That means he didn't accept you. He had to have them. You got to take them, that gift, them hundreds of sheep and cows and things there. You got to take them. And God brought him back to his father's house in peace.